Welcome to Stash Chats, the sewing podcast that unpicks sewing room secrets and celebrates crafty collections. I'm your host, Yvette, co-founder of sewing organizer app Stash Hub, and I'm on a mission to help you fall in love with your stash. Each episode, I'm joined by a different member of the sewing community to chat about their unique stash, personal sewing journey, and what inspires them. This episode, I'm joined by Fove, who was a contestant in Series 9 of the Great British Sewing Bee in 2023. Fove loves being organised, and it was really exciting to hear that she's already a Stash Hub convert and is using the app to catalogue her fabric stash and avoid accidentally buying the same thing twice.
Hello, Fove. Thank you so much for joining. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm excited to talk all things stash, OCD and sewing.
Amazing. So do you want to just start by doing a little bit of an introduction about yourself? Obviously, you're going to have to talk about your experience on the sewing bee and what you've been up to since then and like what your top things to sew are.
Yeah, of course. So for those who don't know me, I'm Fove and I was on Series 9 of the sewing bee, so the one just gone. And if you can't already tell, I'm Welsh. My accent slightly gives it away. I've been sewing now for about 5-6 years now, maybe, actually. And my stash of fabric just keeps growing. I have a slight obsession with florals, and I've gone on autumnal florals today. Sorry, I know you can't see it. I feel really awful. Have an obsession with... but yeah, that's me. I was really lucky enough to get on Sewing Bee this year, and I learned so much from the show, but had a great experience and made some incredible friends, and it's come onto this fantastic platform of Instagram with an amazing community of people to talk sewing with.
Amazing. So were you much like into the sewing Instagram community before going on the sewing bee, or you've got more into it since?
I was on it before, but I think I was a watcher. You know, I had my people that I followed. You know, there was Phoebe and Naomi and Holly, and you know, I followed them. I was like, oh, their makes are incredible and I want to do what they do. And I think now since sewing bee, I've got a bit more confident, and that comes from the sewing community being nice and wanting you to do well, isn't it? And asking questions and supporting each other. So I've definitely become more involved in Instagram and social media, but I still enjoy sitting in the background and looking at everyone else's makes.
Yeah, I think the community on Instagram is really exciting, and getting to see what everyone else is making. It's a really good way of getting inspiration as well.
Yeah, and it's so easy now. I just think I see somebody's made something, Lauren, for instance, that lovely black McCall's dress she's made, and you just click on the hashtag and then suddenly you've got 500 pictures of this one dress pattern, which has been made in all these different fabrics by different people with different styles, and it just inspires you, and you'll always find something for you. And I think that's a massive thing for me, is working out who I was and what my style is. And I still don't really know, but it's having the confidence to go, actually, I'll try that one then, because I've seen somebody else do it and maybe that will look good. But that also then, well, leads on to, I'll buy more fabric and I'll buy this and I'll buy that, which isn't very sustainable.
Have you found that your like style and what you wear has changed a lot since you first started sewing?
Oh, massively. I used to avoid any sort of fastenings, anything with a zip or a placket, anything like that. I thought, no, I can't do it, it's not for me. I just did a very boxy dress, or these, you know, patterns where the sleeves are already on the bodice, because I thought, I can't set in a sleeve. But now, well, I think thanks to the bee, I'm not shying away from that. I recently did my first placket on a dress, which sounds bizarre to say that I went on national TV but I've never sewn a placket before. But that's what that's what it did for me, is that I now go, actually, this is the style I'd buy in a shop, and I can recreate that now, and I'm not afraid of it.
So did you find like your style, like before you first started sewing, was more like it is now? Like, so you went more simple and now you're coming back to the sort of things that you used to wear?
Yeah, probably. I think I'm now, yeah, drawn more. But the other difference is as well, I can never find in the shop a jumpsuit that will fit me. So now I can make that for myself, which is a big thing for me because that's what I want to wear. I'm not this necessarily this girly girl who wants to wear the fitted dresses when she goes out. I'm quite happy to wear a jumpsuit with pockets, but could never find that. So it is my style from before, but it's now fitting me and I'm wearing it with confidence.
Yeah, that's really good to hear that, how that's changed. And has your like stash of fabrics changed over time as well? Apart from just accumulating,
yeah.
Obviously.
You mean doubling in size all the time? Yeah, no, it has, because I think when I started off, it was jersey and stretch fabric, and I was quite happy just to shove everything through an overlocker. Whereas now it's more viscose and satin and these drapey fabrics, which do deserve a bit more time and attention. But it's still just packed full of florals. I'm not even going to lie about that. It is just florals, florals, florals. Big, bold, small, ditzy. I don't really care. It's in the stash.
You just see a new floral release and you're like, oh, this is why Fabric Godmother have really got their teeth in you. They're really big on the florals, so they know they've got you.
Every time they release a new collection and there's like four florals in it, and I'm like, I know what you're doing, stop. I say stop. I had a delivery today from Fabric Godmother and I can count now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 florals. It's not necessary. It really is not necessary. I'm putting it out there. If I think Naomi's on here from Fabric Godmother, stop with the florals. My bank manager isn't happy anymore and I have no room to store it, okay?
So where do you store your stash? Have you got it all in one place?
I really wish I had it in one place. But if you watch The Bee, you would have seen I have a sewing cupboard because I still live with my mum, dad, brother and nan and three dogs. So space was limited. So at the moment, it's in a couple of boxes and because of my OCD, it has to be organised. So we've got the wash box where the fabric has been washed and ready to sew up. Then there's the winter fabrics all in one box. Then there's the summer ones. And then there's some, the random ones I call them, which is the Lycra, the swimwear, because that way I know where I am with everything. So yeah, it's all over the house, unfortunately, for everyone.
For a box, that's the more stash storage room there.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that you've got everything organised.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll be honest, Stash Hub, when it was Vicky from The Bee who told me about it, we were talking, we were having lunch one of the days, and we were talking about organisation, and Teacher Tony, as we call him, his organisation was awful, okay? He had his patterns in plastic bags, he didn't know what he had. And I was saying, well, all of mine are nice, neatly stored, and all my fabric's nice in boxes. And Vicky said, well, why don't you go on Stash Hub? Have you not heard of Stash Hub? And I was like, no, what's that? She showed me. Well, as soon as I got home, I just delved into the boxes. I started putting it all on there. And it's just been a godsend for me because I can say, oh, I think I've got denim, and I am awful for it now. I bought denim over and over again thinking I don't have it, and I can check, oh, no, I do. I've got stretch denim for this, or, oh, I've got this pattern, and now I want a floral for it, but it has to be a viscose, and then I filter it all down, and I sit there all happy filtering it, and it's, oh, I love it. It's become a little hobby in itself.
This is like music to my ears. I'm very excited that you're enjoying the app so much. Got a question in from Grandma Golf. They say, as a golfer, have you made any golf wear?
Oh, I have. I've made two skorts and a like a sleeveless top. It's not something I make probably as regularly as I should because I play golf every week, so I could make more clothes. I suppose I'll just add it to the list. I've got the fabric there. And I've got the pattern and I made it once or twice, but it's not something I always reach for, but now you've brought it back on my radar, I'll probably, that'll be the next project I put on Stash. I'd like to quickly do this now for next summer.
Start some new kind of golf wear floral trend.
Oh yeah, oh, I haven't got any floral golf wear. Oh, see, now you started me off.
Ruth says, how many items do you make a month on average? And of those, how many are floral?
It depends. I'd love to say that I make something once a week, but because I work full time, it's not always the case. So I think I probably would say I make 2 to 3 items a month. And let's say 2/3 of floral. I'm not going to say any more than that. I am making a coat at the moment, and that's not floral. But generally, yeah, I'd say 90% of my makes are going to be floral.
So do you like making sort of jumpsuits and trousers or a bit of dresses or a bit of everything?
Oh, I think probably everything at the moment. I've got into a real habit of saying, what have I shop bought and how can I recreate it? Or what do I want to buy in the shop and how can I recreate it? And it's become, again, a little hobby of searching online for a pattern and then searching through my stash of fabric. And if I haven't got it, then obviously I'll buy some more. And yeah, it's probably recreating those. I've just recreated a dress. We'll call it a pre-Marnie dress. And the Welshies will know what we're on about. And I wore that to death. And I thought, right, I need to recreate this. So I found a McCall's pattern. I got some fabric from Fabric Godmother. And now again, I've worn that dress, I think, 3 times already in the last 2 weeks. So I'm enjoying that process because it means I'm not setting myself up to fail. Because sometimes you know what it's like. You make a pattern, or I'll see it on... somebody had a really nice denim jumpsuit on the other day, and I was like, oh, I love that, I'll make that. She was 6 foot tall, and, you know, legs went on forever. It was going to look great on her. I look like a mechanic. So it's I set myself up to fail then. Instead of saying, well, no, you have a nice jumpsuit that is in this style with a collar and a clot length trouser, that's much better. That suits you, make it like that. So I can enjoy it and get the results more now, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is, even if you plan to make everything yourself, there's still value on like going into shops and like trying things on if you want to try a new style, and then at least you know like how you like it to fit and what it might look like.
Definitely. And it takes nothing to walk into a shop and say, right, let's pick this out, try it on and say, actually, you know, I don't know, one shop is asking for £120 for a dress. I seen it the other day, funny enough, and I thought, why? That's a viscose and it's, what, 3.5 metres? That's not going to cost me that much to do. Yeah, it may take time, but I know then that it's going to fit on the shoulders and the lengths will be right and it's not going to cost me half as much. So go out there and try things on. Take a couple of pictures in the dressing room and think, right, this is how I recreate this. The amount of times I've pulled an M&S dress inside out and gone, how have they constructed this? What have they done here? Or they've just overlocked it. Or they haven't pattern matched. There we are. Copy it.
Yeah, it's a great feeling to walk into the shop and be like, I could make that. Oh, yeah, that's an Ashton top. Yeah. That's the Tilly in the buttons. Yeah. You go. That's it.
Yeah.
Or you go around. I feel like I'm really like snobby about fabric now, so I'll go into New Look and I'll be like, oh no, polyester, oh no.
Yeah, what was it the other day? I seen this coat and they said wool mix and they wanted something ridiculous for it. And I said, it's a wool mix, it's not even 100% wool. No chance am I doing that.
We've got a few questions coming. So Mel says, what is your full-time job?
Oh, okay. I'm a solicitor, so I qualified this year and I do family law, so it can be quite intense and quite urgent sometimes, but I love my job, but sewing is a completely different switch off then, which is quite nice.
something that you can do with your hands rather than always like thinking, so you can really unwind. So do you make yourself like workwear, or do you prefer to like make some more fun stuff that you wear outside of work?
I have made a few things for work, but often they're more the muted me, which is again what I say in finding my style, probably, in that the recent McCall's dress I made, I wear that to work quite a lot, and because it's darker colours I can get away with it, but it's still got, so it's a zebra print, but it's more muted, so I still got that fun side with me and what I can wear to work. But I think I do need to make some more. I just, it's again, it's mixing those two worlds, isn't it? And then as nice as it is to go somewhere and someone says, oh, that's nice, and you get to say you made it, I think I'm probably a little bit nervous and apprehensive in work to do that. And I don't know why, but again, it's confidence, isn't it, with a lot of things.
I guess it's just like a very different environment as well. And, you know, you kind of want to be able to focus more on your clients and not make too much of a statement about what you're wearing as well.
Yeah, I don't think my dress with puffy sleeves is always going to convince the judge the other way, but we'll give it a go.
Mel says, who encouraged you to enter the sewing bee?
Myself, really. It was late one evening. I seen it on social media. Deadline was coming up at midnight that night. Had a bit of a stressful day in work, so was trying to unwind in the evening, should we say, and thought, oh, I'll go on then. You're not going to get on. Enter it, give it a go, see what happens.
It's like a nut.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, really? I know, going on national television with challenges with time pressure.
Oh, yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Did you expect to get on, or you just thought, well, I'll just apply, nothing will happen?
No, I didn't in my wildest dreams think I'd get on, because I wasn't that confident as sewer, should we say. I was... quick, and I would say I'll give this a go, but I certainly didn't have the years of skills that some of the bees in the past have had, and I was just like, oh, they're never going to pick me, there's loads of people that apply, you know, let's just get on, let's just apply, see what happens. And then each round you get through, I was thinking, okay, well, this is nice, and then, oh, this is nice, and then you get the call and you think, oh, heck, oh, right, I'm going to have to now sew on national television and have somebody shouting a time call at me. And okay then, but we'll give it a go.
Well, I think the casting team did really well on this season, because like, you seem like an extremely like tight group. You all seem to get on really well.
Yeah, a few people have said that. And I can't lie, we are a really close group. We've got a WhatsApp group that is still going, there's daily messages on there, and it's not normally ever about sewing, it's something funny's come up, or we laugh and joke, and then we try and arrange another meetup. And we used to have monthly Zooms. We've gone a little bit quiet at the moment because everyone's a bit busy over coming into winter, but we just got on. And I think for some of us, we all had different clicks with each other, you know, and straight away it happened. So obviously me and Asma are Welsh, great, we had that Welshiness, but me and Lizzie both into paddle boarding. And then there was some more serious chats, you know, about confidence and mental health and talking openly with each other and supporting one another. And that's why I think we're so close, is because straight away we just said, this is who we are. We've got each other's back. There's 12 of us in this together. Let's do this.
Well, I think like being on national TV, you're quite exposed in a way, aren't you? Like everyone can see what you're doing. They know if you've like made a mistake. And I think if people like who haven't had that experience as well, it's like they can't relate to it as much. So being able to like, you know, have your team and just be like, okay, well, we're all in this like same situation where we're all quite exposed out here on TV. Like, you know, we can just be open with each other because we're all here.
Yeah, and it's quite funny because even though my mum was my person, I told her I was going on the bee, and she was there throughout, you know, I called her after every challenge. We've recently sat and watched Bake Off, you know, you laugh and she's like, well, why did they do that? And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. until you've been in that room where there's three cameras on you and a sound man and there's a time call, and although it may only be a cake or it may only be a dress, that's everything to you in that moment. And as ridiculous as that sounds, saying it out loud, it is quite intense. And unless you're in it, I don't think you can fully appreciate that, which is why you have to stick together for our series. But other series, you know, there's a big bee chat with all the bees from all the series on there, and everyone supports each other on there. So it's a lovely little community, I have to say. I just seen Lizzie's join now. So hi, Lizzie.
So Clary Wood says, what's your favourite pattern that you sew over and over again?
Oh, I got to say the Anthea blouse. I'm an absolute sucker for that pattern. Oh, I'll make it as a blouse, I'll make it as a dress, and then I'll make it as a blouse again. I just love it. It just comes together so quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, so good. Love the Anthea. Also, Clary Wood says, how did you master fitting? Are you self-taught or did you learn from a book or do lessons?
So I do go to a sewing class up in our local village every other fortnight. And there's a fantastic teacher up there called Nick, who is a pattern drafter by trade. So she taught me some basic fitting things because I wanted to fit my clothes better on me. So she taught me how to narrow the shoulders and a back adjustment. But I think you just learn as you go. There's so many YouTube and Instagram tutorials out there now. I didn't realise, you know, adjusting the rise, for example, on trousers. I was like, oh, God, how do I do that? And it was in COVID. And then quickly you jump on YouTube, you watch it and you give it a go. Twals were my friend, though, when I was doing stuff like that, I will say. You know, get that old duvet cover that's been in your airing cupboard, cut it up and practice it before you use that nice fabric. Otherwise, you will be sorry.
Yeah. Especially if you've got precious fabrics that you don't want to ruin as well.
Yeah.
On that note, Mel says, what's your most precious piece of fabric in your stash?
Oh, my precious one. Oh, I think it has to be my Liberty. I've got this Liberty print fabric that's just sat there at the moment. There's craving to be made into Christmas pyjamas, but I'm too afraid to use it at the moment. And I've made pyjamas again.
Festive print.
It's not. No, shock. It's a floral print.
Sure.
I can probably get it. 2 seconds. I can lean over and grab it from the box.
Also, I feel like Christmas is like one of the occasions where you're actually quite likely to be photographed in your pyjamas,
yeah.
Whereas normally you wouldn't be.
And that's what I was thinking. I was like, the old Instagram, let's make sure I've got nice pyjamas on for a change. I don't know. I'm not sure if you can see that, but it's a new modern Liberty. So it's got a neon pink on it as well, but it's the classic floral, and that's my new precious one that I'm too afraid to use.
Yeah, I feel like you buy a fabric and you're like, okay, I really want to make something nice with this, but then I have to twirl it first, and then the twirl's like not perfect, so then you're like, okay, well, I'm not doing that, and then it just it waits.
It just sits there for the next project to think of, doesn't it? I will say I've had my eye on one fabric for a long time, and said, no, I'm not going to buy it. And then I did buy it recently because I seen it made up finally in person in the Knitting and Stitching show. And I was like, no, just buy it now. Stop it. You've loved it for that long. Buy it. So that's now in my stash, which I'm happy about.
So was that a Liberty print as well?
No, it's one of the Fabric Godmother ones. Have I got it nearby? Let's have a look. Oh, yeah, I do. It's the... It's really hippy-dippy 70s. It's the Clara, I think it was called. But it's got these lovely blues and yellows. And it is, technically it is a floral, I've just realised that again. But I'm hoping to make one of my new patterns, which is a really simple French pattern, so that the print will show off, because sometimes you can do too much, can't you, with a garment. You can go too wild with the pattern and too wild with the fabric and then lose what you're going for.
Yes, especially if you've got like a larger print as well, you don't want to chop it up too much.
Yeah, I will need to check though with that print that I'm not putting a flower over my my boob, because that never looks good, does it?
I made a dress for my mum once, and the fabric print had blue tits on it, and I was like, I cannot give her like a blue tit on the tit, like, so I'm yeah. just really obsessive with cutting it out, like.
Once you've made that mistake once, you don't make it again.
Yeah, I feel like when you make something for somebody else as well, like, I was like, if I did it for myself, it would be funny, and I'd go around and everyone would be like, oh, nice dress, and I'd be like, blue tit tits. But if you make it like for someone else, you're like, I don't want to embarrass them with this thing that I've made, so I'm really gonna be careful here. Mel says, what's your worst fabric choice mistake, and is it still in your stash?
It is still in the stash, actually, and I'm taking it up to Sobram to do a swap. It's not my cup of tea. I don't know why I bought it. It's a pink sequin velvet. I don't know what I was thinking at the time. I'm sure somebody will make something lovely, or maybe a little girl's dress, something. But I stupidly bought 3 meters of this heavy, glittery, sparkly nonsense. So yeah, that's still in the stash, Mel, but it's going, thankfully.
Well, at least you didn't like try and sew it on the bee and like break 100 needles and lose your mind.
No, I've watched too many episodes of the bee to learn that lesson. You don't do sequins under time pressure.
We had one question in advance from Pamela Robb, who really, really cut to the chase and said, how many pieces of fabric do you have in your stash?
Oh, gosh. I'd have to look on my hub, wouldn't I? Because I think the last time I checked, and this is going to be embarrassing, bear in mind a couple of my mother's fabrics are on here, so do not judge me, people. I love the feature where it tells you how much in meterage you've got. And I think I was about 178 meters. Yeah, so not great. There's a lot there. Some of it is my mother's.
But it's all fabric, apart from the horrible sequins. Oh, yes. Margaret says they've got 100 plus meters, so they've got to do it anyway.
Yeah, of course she jumps in and says, yeah, 200 meters. I think about 50. 50 plus of that is my mother's. We're going to go with that, all right?
So do you sew together with your mum?
Yeah, we both go to the sewing class, which is nice. My mum's a massive Anthea fan as well, so she's got an Anthea on the go, and as soon as she finishes that, I'll steal the pattern again and do another one. But we are currently sharing a machine, which means allocating time. So there is a bit of a fight off at the moment about who's sewing what and when. But that it's all fun, and it's so nice having her there to do a fit issue, you know, because I can't always fit something on my back or do something. So to have her there and know what she's doing, because she is an incredible sewer. But yeah, it is nice to share that hobby, but not share a machine.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not also just nice to have someone who like can talk to sewing about, you know, that you can talk to with sewing, with about sewing. Sorry, my brain. But yeah.
Yeah, well, when the postman arrives with the parcel, we both run down to see, you know, whose fabric is it? And then while being working, I'll get a text and mum will say, parcel fabric's arrived. And I'm like, right, quick, open it. I can't wait to see it. You know, and we do share that love of, being able to make things and see that progress and support each other with that. But we do have two very different styles, which is also good because none of us will steal each other's fabric. So, yeah.
And then it's obvious whose is whose then when you have to, you know, when you find one in the box, you're like, oh, I don't remember buying this. Maybe I should de-stash it. And your mum's like, no, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there is once or twice she goes, oh, I think that's mine. And I'm like, no, I know that one's mine because I've logged it on under a filter on Stash Hub as mine or yours. So I know whose it is. So let's not argue over that. The issue at the moment is buttons. I've got an obsession with buttons and I've organised them into this lovely little container. And then I go in there and she's made an Anthea and suddenly my buttons have gone, my nice new buttons. So I need to start logging in the buttons now under Notions in the app so that I can keep track.
Yeah, then she won't be able to get away with it anymore.
No, I'm on to her.
So has your mum been sewing for a long time as well?
Yeah, I think mum started when she was younger. I think like a lot of that generation, it was taught in schools and things, wasn't it? In our first house, mum made all the curtains. And that's what you did. But then obviously she stopped because she was working and had me and my brother. And then she said, it must have been 6 years ago now I'm thinking about it, let's go do a sewing class because we had like a bucket list of items that we wanted to do each year. So she put it on the list. I wasn't interested at all. And then I fell in love with it and she fell back in love with it, which was really nice.
That's really good that you kind of got into it together as well. It's sort of like you're both on a similar like sewing journey as well.
Yeah, because it was crafty stuff that we started with. So it was cushions and makeup bags and that was all lovely. And then we both sort of at the same time was like, well, I want to progress. You know, I'd love to be able to make some dresses or something. So it was both of us going on to that next level. And again, it's... learn how to fit an invisible zip. Well, let's do it together, let's practice it together, and let's both watch a YouTube or see which one's a better method. So yeah, it is nice that we get to keep going and learning as we grow.
Yeah, definitely. So have you got anything else like that you want to show us, any special fabrics or anything you want to tell us about your stash, Bo?
Oh, I think I'll show you my button stash because it is, yeah, it's my favourite thing in the whole entire world. So, I don't know what I'm going to do. So, this is one of my button containers, and I separate all the buttons into the individual ones so you can see how many you've got, what you've got. There is a lot of Pigeon Wishes and Ethel and Joan in there because those are the ones I generally go for because they are gorgeous. I've got two of them, and again that is my OCD side of sewing, because my thread, I found this really good hack. So anyone else who had used to have all their threads in the box and couldn't get to their threads and couldn't see what colours and bobbins, if you get a over the door shoe holder, so it's like a plastic one where you can see it and it's got all that you used to put shoes in it, use that for your threads. And then you can put in all your threads and your bobbin separately and see what you've got. I'm sorry, I seen that and thought this is the best thing ever, and that's what I've got now. So anyone else like me who struggles, get that.
That definitely sounds like a Pinterest hack. I swear I've seen that, and they got all the different colours and different sections.
Yeah,
that sounds good. Genius.
Yeah, and the other thing I've learned to do is zips, is if you just get a safety pin and then you can hook that onto the end of some of your zips and pin it onto your like pegboard if you've got a pegboard, and I do them in length and colour, again, that's my issue. Again, you can easily see what you've got then, because otherwise, I don't know if I've got a 22-inch cream zip, but if I look and go, well, it says there's a longish cream one, perfect, I'll use that. But yeah, these are all like sort of Pinterest hacks, aren't they?
Perfect. Yeah, I put my zips recently into like, you know, one of those clear 30 centimeter pencil cases. It did give me a bit of the like school exam ick, like having the clear pencil case, but it is quite handy for keeping the zip.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Because
I want. That's why I got a clear one, but it was a bit exammy.
Yeah, I was going to say it probably would take me back to my GCSE levels again, but who, hey, bit of PTSD is no problem. How do you store your patterns then? Because you must have loads of patterns.
So I mostly get mine printed like A0, because I get PDFs. Mm. So I've got, you know, really useful boxes. I've two kind of A4 ones on that. So I've got a box of like uncut ones and a box of the cut ones. And then all the cut ones are like in those sort of clear plastic poly pockets because they were in ring binders, but then the ring binders got too fat and they were like kind of bursting out. So then I just got some of these really useful clear boxes. So that's what I use for the PDFs. And then I've got like some paper ones in a drawer as well.
Oh, that's
What's
good.
Your pattern story?
I started doing my own envelopes, sounds silly, but I've did just a little label and then white envelopes, and then it, whether they're PDF or paper, I've put them into these envelopes, and then I've just done them in alphabetical order. I was talking to, funny enough, some of the bees about this, because I think it's Vicky and Lauren that do theirs by type. So they've got a box for dresses, a box for trousers, but I was like, oh no, I wouldn't want to do that because I know my trouser one will be limited compared to others. So I do it by the name alphabetical then in like those useful boxes. But I just got a pattern envelope. I don't know if anyone can see that one. So I just put the name of it, the brand. And then if I've done any hacks, I write the note down, because otherwise sometimes it's really hard to remember that actually you need to take 2 centimetres off this. Or if you're doing this, do that. Because I don't like adjusting a pattern on the pattern itself, just in case I want to go back or if you change sizes. It's just, I found it quite handy then to write that on the front to remember.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And writing like the size as well, because sometimes if you cut it out, then you don't know which size you cut out because you just got the lines and you don't have the key anymore.
Yeah.
size on mine as well. Because sometimes when because I'm quite short, I'm only 5'2", so if I decide I'm going to give it a go at like shortening something, I'll just fold up the pattern piece a bit. But then if I don't keep a note of that, then I won't remember.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Oh, Grandma Gold says, are your buttons sorted by size or colour?
Colour. So I do have the big buttons separate from the little buttons, but it is in colour order.
I was thinking it would be a both.
Oh, no. But now that you say it, maybe.
Well, let us know in the chat if you've got any more questions for Fove. But yeah, thanks so much for joining us today, Fove. It's been really exciting to hear about your stash. It sounds like you've got like an incredible stash that you've got loads to pick from and get really excited about. So it's amazing.
Oh, no, thank you. It's just so nice just to be able to talk to people about fabric and buttons and stashes and Stash Hub. Like, honestly, it's been a lifesaver for me. And I don't just say that because I'm on here talking to you. I said it to you the other day, didn't I? It is so much fun for me to sit there and log all my fabric and log all my patterns and then pick and do projects. And if you enjoy sewing and sometimes you feel overwhelming, the app just brings you back down for a minute and just allows you to have a moment to go, actually, no, I can do this because I've got this and this. Or, oh, wait, I've got part of this but not this. Or I've done that. And I found it zones me in a bit, so thank you.
Oh, amazing. I'm so glad that you enjoy it. It's like amazing to hear. Like, yeah, it's a good sewing activity to do when your mum's hogging up the machine as well.
Exactly.
Dot Craft Studio says, what jumpsuit pattern do you use? You mentioned jumpsuit with pockets. We all want the pockets.
I got to be honest, guys, you can put a pocket on anything. If you've got a side seam, you can input a pocket on anything. And I mean that. Jumpsuit pattern, though, I've got a Vogue one, which I have slightly adapted at the moment, which is a work in progress. But one of, well, this sort of, I'll say three go-tos then, because two are a boiler suit and one is a jumpsuit. So there's the Zadie jumpsuit, which is lovely, but I did have to do some fit alterations too, which I think a lot of people have had to do as well. But that's that nice casual style. Then you've got Homer and Howell's Lennox boiler suit, which is such a nice pattern, and it's got this lovely button front and this loose feel. And I've done the three-quarter culotte style, which is, again, has pockets, but a nice cut-out pocket, which is lovely. And then there's the Blanca flight suit, which you can make smart or you can dress casual. But that one is a little bit more fiddly. I wouldn't, if you're a beginner to jumpsuits, don't try that one just yet, because there's a zip, there's 50 million pockets on that. And the rise on that, you may have to adjust. So I'd start with maybe the Zadie and then work your way up.
When you fit a jumpsuit, do you kind of make the top and the bottom sort of separately to figure out if they're going to fit, you know, help you know, to figure out what adjustments you need?
Yeah, always do them separate, because I think the patterns tell you to attach them too quickly. And I'm like, just take a moment and see where your waist is, see if it's sitting comfortably. Do the sit test. I know that sounds silly, but how many times do you make something and then you sit down and you think, oh no, it's rising up, or now I'm not comfortable, or you know, you got that wedgie or whatever it is. So do the sit test as well before you do those final stitches, because you may think, actually, I'd rather it be a little bit looser on the back so it's comfortable. But yeah,
do you don't want that wedgie?
No, nobody needs the wedgie.
Claire Wood says, what do you do with your offcuts and leftovers?
At the moment, they are hidden away in a bureau. So I've got a lovely vintage bureau, and I've got some drawers in it, and I've just put them in there for now. But if anyone's got any ideas on what to do with offcuts, I'm fed up of making scrunchies. I make scrunchies in for the garments, which is lovely, but there's only so many scrunchies you can make. So if anyone's got any ideas, a lot of mine is viscose, so not really hard. Great for me. Yeah, so if anyone has any ideas, drop me a message at some point, because I'd love to know what to do with them. Oh, I'm happy to donate them. If people know of any kids crafting clubs or anyone that needs offcuts, again, please message me, because I'm happy to post them off, because I'd rather them go to a good home and be loved than just sat in my bureau at the moment.
We've got a recommendation for the Megan Nielsen Durban jumpsuit from C. Davies as well.
Ooh, thank you.
Another one for the list. Have you made the spring jumpsuit by Solar Patterns? Because I've got that pattern, but I haven't.
It looks nice, but I didn't order it because I had other ones. So it'd be nice to see how that sews up, to be honest, if you can give me an honest review.
Well, I'm gonna definitely have to do a lot of twirls for it, because it's quite fitted, so we'll see how it goes. But I do have some really nice fabric that I earmarked for it, so it's in the works. Maybe. We've got recommendations for the Sew Over It bow bag to match your dresses if you've got the right size of scraps.
Oh, thank you.
You've not got tempted to make your own shoes yet?
Oh, don't. Asma started me on that. She was like, make your own shoe. And I was like, girl, we make too many things. Let's just take a break. But
thank you so much, Bo, for joining and answering all your questions and showing us your lovely organised buttons.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Please subscribe to Stash Chats wherever you listen to podcasts to tune in to more great conversations with the sewing community. If you're interested in organising your own sewing stash, be sure to check out Stash Hub app, available on iOS, Android and web. Links with more information about Stash Hub and the show notes for this episode can be found in the description.